I'm hoping that most of us know about that wonderful cartoon character Linus from the Peanuts comic strips. If you were too young to perhaps be reading Peanuts when Charles Schulz was alive and writing those comic strips, many of us at least know him from A Charlie Brown Christmas, when it is Linus who manages to explain to Charlie Brown the true meaning of Christmas. He, of course, is that younger brother of Lucy, thumb-sucking, blanket-holding Linus, who would occasionally just have pearls of wisdom coming forth from his mouth. Of course, one of the storylines was that he was often the subject of the whims of his older sister. And I'm not sure, but I think it was after a particularly difficult encounter with that mercurial sister, Lucy, that Linus commented on his stance toward the world or his attitude towards the world in words that I've always remembered. Half angry and maybe half sad, Linus said, "I love humanity. It's people I can't stand." And there, in a nutshell, is the dilemma that I suspect many of us face in the living of our lives: to move from very general notions or understandings to very specific and particular circumstances, and in some cases, very particular and specific people. Certainly, Christians are presented through the words of Scripture and the tradition of the community of faith with general instructions about what it means to love. We heard some of those general instructions today in the reading from the first letter of John, a letter probably not written by the author of the gospel, but written to a community shaped by that gospel as that community is beginning to form and live out its life. Here are some of those general instructions. Beloved, let us love one another. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. And this, those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Tell that one to Linus, because that's now moving from a more general to a more specific. Indeed, tell that last one to any of us who finds that for all of our efforts to love, sometimes the most difficult persons in the world to love are those with whom we have the most intimate relationships. The brother, the sister, the father, or mother, or perhaps a child, or maybe even perhaps a spouse. To love those who are closest to us and with whom we are most familiar, sometimes a very particular challenge. And then there's the challenge equal to that, to know and to love those who are most different from us, whom we know the least. The one we've been taught to consider as different as the other. Did you listen to the assignment that the Holy Spirit gave to Philip, a new follower of Jesus, in today's lesson from Acts? He was following our mission statement here at St. John's. He was hearing the Spirit. And the Spirit said, "Go down to a road, the road from Jerusalem to Gaza." Particular circumstances. And whom did he meet on that road? Luke tells us now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. Talk about particulars. Talk about differences. When the abstract becomes concrete, that is to say, when we face the particular challenge of loving another individual, the qualifications arise. We may not go as far as Linus did, saying we can't stand people, but don't most of us inevitably have at least some individuals in our lives who so get under our skins, who so much annoy us, that somehow we give ourselves permission to love them a little less, to somehow put them outside the circle of inclusive and expansive love? Or what about when we're moved from the abstract to the concrete, when we consider the other, the person we don't know? I know that as a white person living in this country, I can hear very general terms like white supremacy or racism and think that, I know, they really don't apply to me. I can remember back in the days of high school, I went to a high school that was fairly integrated, and I felt fairly proud of that. There were white and black people together in my classes, students that I knew, people I called friends. And, well, the fact that when you went into the cafeteria, most of us who were white sat in one section, and most of us who were black sat in another section, that didn't really cause me too much discomfort. Or that when I hung out with friends after school and in evenings and weekends, was it just coincidence that all of my friends were white? Still, very general terms. And then I still remember my senior year in the National Honor Society. I happened to be a scholar in those days, so I was a member of the National Honor Society. And it came to the end of the year, and the various awards that the Honor Society members got to elect for themselves were being voted on. And there came up the category of the Scholar Athlete of the Year. Now, I was a scholar in those days, but not much of an athlete. But I did manage to make the swim team, and I did manage to earn a varsity letter on the swim team, and was proud of that because my brothers were track stars and baseball stars, and I couldn't do any of that. And the election came, and I was elected as the National Honor Society's Scholar Athlete of the Year. And as my name was announced, I looked across the room to Steve Allison, an African-American member of the National Honor Society who had been a star of the soccer team, who had played basketball, who played baseball, earning varsity letters in each of those sports. And I remember after the meeting, one of my white friends came up to me and with a smile on his face and said, "You know, we voted for you." And suddenly, the very general terms had a very particular context, which made me feel very uncomfortable and very aware of my own complicity in issues that still bedevil us as a country, as a nation. What do we do when we find ourselves in those circumstances where the very particulars of our relationships or lack of relationships with one another keep us from fully loving? Well, let's return to those general instructions in the first letter of John for some assistance. The writer is speaking to that early Christian community that is trying to build and organize its life around and in Jesus Christ. Yes, we are to love one another. But the writer, if you listen closely, links that love in almost every case when he's talking about it to a prior love. Not what we are called to do, but what first has been done to us and for us. The love that God has for us, the love of God that has been revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Again and again, he links our ability to love with the reality that we have first been loved by God. Did you hear that? Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. And God's love was revealed among us in this way, that God sent his only Son into the world to us so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And then he puts it most concisely, we love because God first loved us. William Sloane Coffin, the noted preacher, once said of Descartes in his famous statement that he was mistaken. "I think, therefore I am." "Nonsense," wrote Coffin. "I love, therefore I am." But I might go further and say that even William Sloane Coffin might have been a little mistaken. Because maybe it's better to say, "I am loved, therefore I am." I am loved, and therefore I can love. So when we move from those general abstract notions, Linus's love for humanity, to that very specific invitation to love another person, particularly the person who might raise our hackles the most, maybe the first question to ask is not, how can I love that person? Because I might not have the capacity to do so. But what if in that moment of looking at the other, whether it is the person close to us who pushes all our buttons, or the stranger whom we may have been taught to fear or avoid, what if the first question to ask is this? As we look at them, how have I been loved by God, accepted by God? And then maybe this, and how is that person being loved by God and being accepted by God? For if I am loved and accepted, and that person is loved and accepted, it just might free me to love in a more perfect and generous way. And I think that is something of what we hear Jesus saying in John's gospel and what we hear in the first letter of John of what it means to abide in Jesus Christ. It means to abide in the reality of God's fervent and ongoing love. For frankly, if God can love me, how could God not love that other? And if God can love that other, what have I to fear? For that is what the early Christian communities were discerning, what it meant to abide in Christ's love. First, the incredible challenge of loving not just humanity, but the people, the real people that they were breaking bread with and drinking wine with. And these exhortations are being sounded again and again throughout the New Testament because, frankly, the community was often failing to do so and was having a hard time reconciling its own earthly life with this promise of abiding love. The scholar of John's Gospel, Raymond Brown, relates that the church father Jerome passed on a tradition that in later years the writer of John would reduce his whole message to the simple command, "My little children, love one another." Well, at the very same time these communities were struggling with their sometimes inability to love, they were also experiencing something equally extraordinary. The ability of the gospel of Jesus Christ to overcome barriers and boundaries that had separated people so that foreigners became friends, enemies became allies, brothers and sisters became, well, brothers and sisters in Christ. The story in Acts of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch has some fantastic elements to it, with Philip being whisked away by the Spirit at the end of the story. But what Luke is trying to convey here is how the good news of Jesus Christ is breaking out beyond the confines of the initial community that might have held on tight to its meaning. And so, yes, in this era of increasing tribalism, where both in our nation and around the world, we see more and more lines being drawn, more and more walls being built, and more ways in which we are being encouraged to fear the other, we are invited to love one another with the love of Christ. Because there is no fear in love, and perfect love casts out fear. So let us love one another, brothers and sisters, imperfectly, yes. At times acknowledging that, like Linus, there are people we can't stand, but always abiding in the perfect love of God for us, for our brother, for our sister, for our friend, and for our foe, that the good news of Jesus Christ might be shared with all. Amen.